I'm Maria Dudzak, and this morning we are going to have a call-in show, a gardening call-in, and focusing today on garlic. I guess it's garlic time of the year. Joining us this morning, we have Deb Matthews and Loanne Swanson. Good morning.
Morning, Maria. Morning.
Thanks for being here. And what is, I guess, the trick to growing garlic? Is this something that you treat differently than a lot of your other plants?
Only in that it really needs to be planted so that it goes through the cold season in the ground. So this is the perfect time, the ideal time. Even though we may not get a frozen ground, this is the time you put it in, and it will stay planted until June or July next year. So sort of an interesting sort of winter crop. Or winter grown crop. And the cool thing about it is while you've got your garlic in, you know, you can, it's like other bulbs, you can just plant some short term cold weather crops on top of it right now. And actually is good for the garlic because the roots keep the soil aerated.
So what would other cold winter crops be?
Some lettuce would be good, shallow rooted, but still, you know, putting roots down there, to keeping things mixed up. You could do kale.
Kale is hardy.
It is. It is.
It does well here. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's it.
Okay. So these things, they will actually grow over winter? Don't they get frozen up or no?
Well, you keep them deep enough in the ground that they don't freeze and thaw. That's the hard part. I mean, that's what will kill your garlic. I think if you're down a good 4 to 6 inches, right, Loanne?
Yeah, I think so. It's saying here, I just have this great thing that came when I bought garlic this year, and it says only 2 inches deep, but putting a mulch on it.
I did read that.
It's real important. And that the mulch protects it from, as Deb was saying, the freeze thaw, which we get a lot of here in Ketchikan. And so always put mulch on the top.
Okay. And this is a call in show. So if you have questions, you can give a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. So with respect to garlic, do you need to prep your soil in some fashion?
Yeah, garlic does require just a few things to make really healthy, happy crops. And one is just really good drainage, a sand mixture into the soil. And it does like a lot, even though it likes good drainage, it does like a lot of good plant material or
organic
material to draw from. To grow in, and then like Loanne said again, to be sure and mulch it to get it through those temperature changes that we have sometimes here in the winter.
And what do you use as a mulch?
Organic compost works really good.
Mm-hmm. I know some people put seaweed mm-hmm. over it and things
yes.
like that. Would that be a good choice? Or
yep. Seaweed's always good for the winter.
Yeah, it would be an excellent choice. Yeah.
And you also, Deb mentioned planting, say, lettuce or something with it. Does lettuce and kale, do those things actually live over the winter, or do they freeze up themselves?
They need to be somewhat protected. The lettuce especially won't go through a frost without covering, you know, or using the Remay cloth that holds the temperatures in. Loanne probably has more experience in that winter gardening kind of stuff than I do.
Well, I still love having great greens. All winter long. Well, and every year, I do this in my greenhouse, but it's an unheated greenhouse. This year, however, I am planting all my salad greens that I have right now outside under Remay cloth. And I'm putting seaweed mulch around each plant just to kind of help protect it. But I've got that Remay cloth or anything that you use to change the temperature and protect from frosting. I would like to comment back on the garlic, though, here. I have some other stuff that I wanted to say that I think might be really helpful. This year, I'm going to plant probably half of my garlic cloves in gallon pots, and I'm going to make a real good mixture with compost, potting soil, and I have this marvelous sand that I'm using, and for good drainage. I'm going to plant them in these gallon pots, probably half of my garlic, not directly in the ground. I'm going to put them in these pots and put the pots outside, maybe underneath a big cedar or something, somewhere they get a little protection. And then in the spring, I will then transplant those out into the garden. So just so I have two different ways of growing garlic this year, and it's, I think it's worth a try. I've done it with other bulbs before, and it's been fabulous. So,
yeah, does garlic transplant well?
Mm-hmm, I think so, if you're careful.
Okay.
Just careful with the roots.
So yeah. In planting, so you have, there's different, I imagine, different kinds of garlic mm-hmm. out there?
There are, and what we grow most commonly here, what I was reading this morning said the kind of garlic you grow, soft neck or hard neck, is dependent on your latitude. Just means how close you are, how long your days are, and how cold it gets during the winter. Most of the cooler climate growers do grow the hard neck. It's much hardier, temperature hardy, than the soft neck. Most of what you buy in the store is grown way farther south, and it is the soft neck. And the differences are quite obvious once you become familiar with them. The soft neck that you buy in the grocery store has more of an onion skin, where the hard neck, the covering is like a shell. The whole thing comes off in one piece. And the basal plate of the hard neck is harder, it seems to me, much more pronounced.
Also, the hard neck stores longer.
It does.
I don't think the soft neck would store nearly as long as the hard neck garlic. And that's what we all want, is to have this wonderful fresh garlic.
I guess I should say that. Now, I buy it from the store, and it's probably who knows how old it is. But it just seems to go bad really quickly. Is there a trick to storing your garlic?
I would say cool and dark. Don't have it exposed to light. At least that's my experience. Although I just was somewhere and saw all of her garlic hanging on the wall in the kitchen. But I myself try to keep it in a cooler, darker spot.
With low humidity as best as we can here.
Good luck here, yeah.
Yeah. But not in the refrigerator. You don't want to put it in the fridge.
So like in a dark drawer or something, or a little keeper, some sort of
bowl. Yeah. Oh, they do even sell ceramic keepers or terracotta keepers.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And should it, is it okay if it is exposed to air or should it be kept kind of sealed? Because I've seen some garlic keepers that have like, I think they're actually meant for baking, that they have like a little hole in them to vent, and then others that are completely airtight.
I don't do mine completely airtight. That doesn't mean that I'm 100% correct. It's just what works for me.
And it works. Well, that's what matters, I guess.
You know, there's another thing I think we should back up and talk about with garlic, because I know there's been sort of an increase in using garlic. I know even aesthetically where it's in oil, that has some cautions that come with it, actually. If you're going to use garlic stored in oil, be very careful. Keep it refrigerated. And I think it's like a 2 week to a month shelf life. I could be wrong on that, but it's a lot shorter than I thought, because garlic can, of all things, breed the bacteria that causes botulism.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So that was sort of an interesting read as I was getting ready to do this morning.
But you could, I believe, you could pickle it.
Yes,
and
the vinegar.
That would be
it's
a perfect way to keep it.
That you have to watch out for. So,
but one thing I would like to mention for folks who have not yet ever grown garlic, homegrown garlic is unbelievable. It has so much juice and so much flavor, you would do everything you could to not have to buy it in the store.
Miss Maria, we'll have to be sure you get some.
Okay. Well, actually, usually Deb plants garlic out here.
Out back?
We have planters out there. Uh-huh. They generally become the garlic. So, but maybe I will try. I don't really have a place, so maybe that's good. How big, deep of a space, how big of a pot, or what would you need to do to plant garlic?
You can grow it in a pot.
a gallon pot or a...
I would probably grow it in like a 2 or 3 gallon pot to make sure you have plenty of depth if you're going to leave it in that pot.
What I read said at least 6 inches deep, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
But it seems like it would limit your bulb size. The other thing is when you do grow your own garlic, this was interesting read for me also. You know, and you're harvesting in the summer and it's wonderful and you get this, your prize clove, you don't get to eat it.
Oh.
That's the one you're supposed to save and then replant. And everything says that the size of bulb that is produced is directly related to the size of clove and the bulb that the clove came from. So you want to pick nice, big, fat cloves.
Juicy cloves.
To plant.
The other thing, too, to think of, to follow along with what Deb just said, the clove that you plant, that is the food that grows the garlic plant. So if you plant a tiny clove, there's just not that much food to create a good, healthy plant that's going to produce big bulbs for you. So
okay, so when you're picking... when you're picking your garlic to plant, so you can go to your garden store or perhaps order it from a source, wherever you're getting it from. What are you looking for in a quality clove? You mentioned, you know, should be bigger. Should it be firm, papery? You know, like what should it look
firm.
Like?
Okay. Should be firm. Shouldn't be mushy. Shouldn't have spots on it. For example, I have a bunch of cloves, globes, I'm going to call them, of garlic right now. As I break them apart to plant them, you don't need to take the skin off of it, but I'm going to look for the healthiest bulbs that come out of that globe, and the ones that have a spot on them, I'll just eat it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but it probably isn't the best one to plant.
And then once you get your source and you're planting them, then each year you can just harvest from that and
replant.
Pick the favorites or
yep.
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you're putting them, when you're planting them in the first place, is there anything you do? You mentioned to have well-drained soil, having compost sand in there, and then mulching on top. But is there anything? I know sometimes there's recommendations like, you know, lay some sort of material or a special thing, put the bulb on top of that, like sometimes with bulbs, like special bulb food or anything, or just stick it in the soil, or should you do anything to prep the spot where you're actually planting the clove? Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm not. I am... I have compost in the bed that I've turned in, and I'll let that meld for maybe a week or two more and then plant them about 2 inches deep. And the recommendation, according to the experts here, 9 inch between rows and about 2 inches deep and 6 inches between each clove.
I was going to ask that question.
Were you? Yeah. Well, I talked to another really good gardener just the other day, and he said, yeah, because I'm not doing 9 inches in between the rows. I'm probably going to do about 6. You just want to imagine that each clove that you plant has enough room to develop into that beautiful globe of garlic that you want to pick.
And I would imagine there's different types. Some are like giant and some are smaller, just the species or whatever of garlic.
The elephant garlic is not a true garlic. I think it's actually more of a leek. True garlics will always form the cloves if they're, what did I read? Unless they're harvested immature or... I can't remember the other thing. One other thing, though, I did want to talk about is the dirt that you plant your garlic in. Say you're using a raised bed. It is not recommended that you use that dirt over and over again. You really need to change it out. I don't know about every year. If you have a healthy crop, you know, you haven't seen any signs of any pestilence, maybe you could just amend it and use it again. But especially if you have garlic that looks like there's a problem. And the this was interesting, too, because nematodes are bad for garlic. They will attack your garlic, where nematodes are actually being sold as a natural means of pest control. It's not good for garlic. And the other disease that the garlic gets is white rot, and that will live in your soil for quite some time. I'm not exactly sure how long, but it will go into the next year's planting for sure. So
I think, Deb, that what this points to for me is the value of what is called crop rotation. I don't plant garlic in the same bed every year, and or peas, for example. All plants draw certain things out of the soil, certain nutrients, and they also have their own problems. Like if you get this disease that Deb is talking about, it's far better, rather than move all the dirt, which I can't imagine doing all the time because it's so much work, it's easier to practice crop rotation. And I think it's a healthy thing to do. I think that's an age-old thing for folks who garden. Just don't plant the same, your onions or anything in that family, this in the same place every year. Just rotate it around to another bed that you have.
Do you normally, when you're rotating, say, plant peas? Or what do you plant where you had garlic last year?
Well, I think it just depends. I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of raised beds. But now this year, for example, where I planted garlic last year, I'll probably just plant more surface crop rather than things with deep roots.
So like lettuce and kale, things
exactly.
Like that. Okay.
And then I'll plant peas in a different place. And my garlic is going in a brand new bed that has, I think last year I had, I don't remember what I had in there. I had kale and some other stuff. But anyway, just keep in mind, and you can keep a little map for yourself if you need to. I actually have at the point in my gardening adventures that I like to keep a map of where things were planted. I like, it just makes sense to me. Yeah. Like where I had onions last year, I think I'll plant something entirely different this year. Potatoes, the same thing. Potatoes have certain diseases that are common to them. It's better to rotate every year on the potatoes and not plant for at least 3 years, I think. So,
and I would check into the garlic because I believe it's probably more than a year that you should not mm-hmm. plant back in the same bed.
But so a couple of years you have?
I'm not exactly sure, but okay. I do believe it's longer than a year.
I also think it's almost a logical thing. You know, we think about what plants need, and all plants need different things. And then, in turn, add different things back to the soil. So, if you can. I know here at KBD, you really only have two raised beds. You've got the big one, and then one other little planter there. So, it'd be hard to rotate every year. But, boy, I'd give it at least a year.
But you could
do
it on sides, couldn't you? Like...
Sure, you could.
This side of the bed, that side of the bed.
Oh, you could, but it's sort of hard. Because I usually turn the soil over, so you're going to mix it all together.
Mm. But you just need to be sure you're amending. You know, now I just went through potting up some garlic with a friend of ours who we did a little more to build the soil up. We added minerals and some kelp meal and fertilized. And then we talked about fertilizing again in the spring. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and know that the dirt that I'm working with, too, is the soil is probably different than what Loanne has cultivated herself over the years. I'm starting with stuff in a bag and building it where she's amended for years. So a little different.
That's it. I'm glad you brought that up, Deb, about adding things because – this year, I was told to soak the cloves in a teaspoon of baking soda and some kelp, liquid kelp, in water for just, I don't know, a minute before I plant them. And I'm also putting a product called azomite in the trough or the row that I'm planting the garlic in. And that's just great
minerals.
That's
the minerals.
Those are the minerals. And... probably going to just top water with a light kelp or seaweed
tea
after I get them planted and bedded down, and then I will cover it all with seaweed, you know, for the winter. But the azomite apparently is just fabulous. I haven't really had a chance to use it yet, so I don't have a great deal of experience with
it. I have heard of it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't have long experience either, although the last few things that I've planted and used it in, and I've done it mostly with the herbs and edible plants that I've done, they look good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, can't tell a huge difference, but they look wonderful.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes left in the show available, so if you have any questions out there, now would be the time to give us a call, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. So you plant your garden, your garlic now, and am I correct? Like now is
mm-hmm,
the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So you get your garlic planted, you've mulched it, you've got it, so hopefully it's deep enough to weather the freeze thaws. So what do you need to do then? Do you just leave it be, or do you need to tend it in any way or water it or anything over the course of the winter?
What I read this morning said that you should, if it hasn't rained in a week, you should water it thoroughly. Doesn't happen here very often. So, and I think the only other real maintenance, if you're not transplanting or planting something, you know, shallow rooted on top, is to cut the scapes when they.
Right. That won't happen though until May or June scapes
come up. Mm-hmm. And they're edible. That was, you know, I was surprised to find that they're smoking garlic now. And that's the one instance that I found where they actually use the husk or the skin that's on each clove to extract that smoky flavor. It said every part of the garlic is edible except for the base plate. So I was pretty impressed with that.
So we could talk about scapes for just a minute.
Yeah, please.
The scape comes up, and I really couldn't tell you the exact time, and I'm sure it differs with everyone else's garden and your exposure to the sun. But the scape is actually, I believe, the flower. And it's beautiful. It comes up through the leaves of the garlic plant, and it's the stalk is round. And then it curls, and on the end of it, it has like a little a different shape, which is actually the flower that's still not opened up yet. You want to cut that scape off and eat it. Use it in stir fries or whatever. It's just fabulous. It's really, really, really delicious. Plus, when you cut it off, then it's very much like deadheading an annual flower, for example. It sends the message to the plant to make those cloves bigger. So if you don't cut those scapes off, then the energy is going to make a flower, in which you really, if you're growing garlic, you don't want the flower. You want to eat the scapes. So.
And how do you know when the scape is ready? I mean, is it as soon as it appears, or does it mature for a while? Like, when do you know it's time to cut it off?
I think I waited too long on a few of them. It's better to do it when they're real tender, when they first come out and form this beautiful curve.
Before you see the flower.
Yeah, you don't want it to flower.
But after it started to make a circle.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so you cut off the scape.
And eat it like asparagus.
Or saute it. Or
does it taste like garlic?
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
so
not
could you
as
use
strong.
It? So you, could you use it as garlic, or
sure,
you're really
sure,
more
sure.
having it as a separate?
Oh no, you know, put it in a stir fry, put it in anything you're cooking, or you could eat it raw. It's delicious.
Yeah. All right, and so then once we've cut that off, how do you know when your garlic is ready to harvest?
The leaves will turn and start to look tired, yellow, and just like potatoes. So it's time, or the late potatoes anyways. So then it's time to dig it up. And just be careful digging it up that you hope you give it plenty of room. Gently, you don't want to bruise the cloves as you're taking it out. And just clean it off and let it dry and enjoy
okay.
for the rest of the year.
All right. Is there any other things about garlic? I feel like we've covered it, unless there's something...
The only thing I wasn't sure if we covered that that I read again right now, it's really good in the spring I'm trying to get a sense here. You want to make sure in the spring at some point to put some nitrogen fertilizer on it, which could be, you know, compost tea, or could be fish fertilizer would be a perfect one, just to get the greens going. So
fertilize when plant and fertilize in the spring.
Yeah.
Okay. Two times. Yeah. And then usually you said it's like July or so when you harvest it, somewhere
June
in there?
June or July.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it could be later, but I think people really here go toward the end. You did what? July?
I get so busy in the summer that I don't pay attention to when I'm harvesting is what it amounts
to. But it will
to.
Be the summer.
But yeah, and it will be summer. And Deb gave the perfect explanation is when the leaves start turning brown and yellow. And you can see the plant is done growing. So
okay,
time to get it out.
All right. Lots of good information. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about this morning? All right. Well, thank you for all the great tips on garlic, and maybe I'll give a go on my porch. Oh. I actually tried to grow vegetables, and they just haven't done well. I got little lettuce. I can grow lettuce, but that's about it. But I tried radishes, carrots. You know, they were tiny or nearly non-existent. But I'll figure it out one day.
I'll bring you one by in a pot already, Maria.
Okay.
I will.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. Deb Matthews and Loan Swanson. Again, tips on garlic, growing garlic and such. And we will post this to our website, krbd.org, later this morning in case you missed anything or want to listen to those tips again.